Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Coming up on TMS, there are two things you need to make it in the topless gig economy.
New trigger. Who dis?
Dump a load on Annie.
Squirrely roundhouse shenanigans.
Never grant an interview.
Kelp, kelp, it's happening.
It's not being topless that's the problem. It's the cleaning.
Come on down to Hitler's Honeysuckles.
Tips for nips.
Is there a show tomorrow? Because I, like, really wanted to know.
I don't believe in ghosts.
Shout out to the tailor.
Whenever I look at my package, I check the stream.
Punished clocks with Bill.
Spinning yarns with Bobby, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Oddly enough, Mrs. Kennicott, I am a moralist. A vanishing specie.
I hate it. It smells when it's got hairs on it.
The Morning Stream. She's a breath of fresh ass.
Good morning. Welcome to TMS. It is Tuesday, March 14th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Welcome to the Morning Stream, you bunch of weirdos. Well, that's weird you did that, because last night I watched the thing where somebody kept doing the count. What show was
I really watching? Doing the Sesame Street count?
Yeah, it's just
I was
just
kind of
that.
Emulating that Seinfeld episode with the talking belly button. Hello.
No. I also saw that recently. Kind of all my worlds coming to collide in here.
Wow. See, who has a camera installed somewhere secretly in your house?
Exactly. Who knew?
Hidden in the Batman resin sculpture. Just pointing.
We hope you're all well. It's a Tuesday. We got all kinds of stuff lined up today. So, you know, enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves.
Yes. Take a load off.
Yeah, take a load off, whatever that all meant. What did that mean back in the day when you said take
like,
a load off?
Put your feet up. Take a load off. Like you're taking the load off of your feet, of your body above it.
Is that the load they mean? Take that load off?
It might mean, you know, you're carrying a heavy pack. Take a load off to set your pack down.
Oh, right. Okay, so you got a big old backpack on. You're like, oh, okay, I got to remove this and take that load off. Okay, all right.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh, maybe we should analyze the lyrics of The Weight by the band, because they say, take a load off, Annie, take a load for free, take a load off, Annie, and you put the load right on me. Mm. I think they're talking about pooping on other people.
Oh.
I think they're talking about a Cleveland steamer,
wow.
Scott.
Wow. Boy, you guys with your
I'm going to get on Twitter and talk about how that band promotes Cleveland steamers.
I think we found Brian's kryptonite. We need to give lyrics a harder time for bands or artists he really likes.
It's less my kryptonite, apparently more my trigger. We were talking about triggers. I didn't even know. Like, yeah. We go back to that episode with Wendy, I maybe need to re-listen.
Yeah, we'll get her Thursday and say, Wendy, new trigger. Who dis? Anyway, it's good to see you all. And if you missed our pre-show today, you heard us play this incredibly cringy Hugh Grant red carpet interview. people are giving him a lot of shit for it. People are giving him shit, saying he's not a very good sport about anything, or he's just cranky, and they're all mad at him. I think, you know what? That's my whole attitude toward life right now. I don't want to play your game and go, well, the glitzy glamour of Hollywood is why I'm here. And, you know, let me tell you.
Exactly.
Like, who cares?
Oh, who are you here to see tonight? Oh, you know, I'm really, really excited to see Angela Bassett and Michelle Williams and
Williams.
You know what? Good for him. I'm sure that that he was walking by. He probably even said, oh, no, that's all right. I don't have time. But, you know, if he would have been like, oh, no, thank you, and kept walking, then it would have been like, oh, Hugh Grant snubbed us at the Oscars red carpet. Oh, Hugh Grant's the worst.
Yeah, I hate that stuff.
I say, good for him. He's awesome. And
just say what you're going to say. If you got something to say, exactly. Just say it. And then don't exactly. If you don't. And it's okay. And we can sit here and spin, you know, all around on our thumbs all day trying to understand what you meant. When really you're just there, you got tickets, you're hanging out, you'll probably see some friends, you'll get on a plane, you'll be back in London before you know it. It'll be fine.
Exactly.
All right. So everyone just chill. We got a big question we got to hammer on today.
Ooh, all right. Hit me with your question.
Win Magus in our chat room and community at large sent this message in. He says, oh, here's a fun idea. Frog Pants in Coverville. I agree that a lot of supernatural stuff is bullshit. But are there supernatural things you actually believe in? So like, you know, anything. Ghosts.
Yeah. Bigfoot. Loch Ness Monster.
All that stuff. Any of the cryptid stuff.
Aliens.
What else is... I mean, supernatural, does that include luck? Aliens? Luck? I don't know about luck. I don't think luck's supernatural, right?
No.
Because supernatural is like...
It's not natural, Scott.
Luck? I mean, luck's natural.
I guess it's not. It's what's the... There's a different term for believing in that sort of... Superstition.
Oh, superstition. Totally different thing. Sure. Yeah. Supernatural. Superstition's like, hey, if I blow on these dice, it's going to roll better.
Yeah, exactly.
Supernatural would be if you say...
Thank you for mansplaining superstition to me. Right. Thank you.
Well, it's for the audience's sake. But then, if you blow on the dice, and then, let's see... A four.
You have a ghost blow on the dice.
Yeah, then supernatural.
That's both superstition and supernatural.
Exactly. So
that's supernatural stition.
So let's answer the question. Do you have anything where you're like, oh yeah, the ghosts totally exist, or some equivalent to that? Like,
I am Mr. Super Skeptic when it comes to that. I say I'm open minded. If you show me proof, I'll believe it. Now, Tina totally believes that sort of thing. She, when her grandfather passed away, there was like a Christmas ornament that was his that moved for no reason on the Christmas tree, like started swinging like a gust of wind just blew that instrument. Mm. And so she totally believes in spirits and the, you know, maybe not totally believes, but she kind of believes that there could be an afterlife, or a ghostly apparition. You can come back and do that sort of thing.
All right. So I'm kind of with you. This is maybe boring. This is a boring answer because the reason I don't believe in ghosts or supernatural occurrences pretty much of any kind is because there's no sufficient evidence of such a thing. Mm-hmm. And when there's sufficient evidence for a thing, then you have me. But someone just yelling about it or saying it happened to them or writing a book that they did this thing or saw this alien or did whatever is not proof. I need more than that. So for me, that always comes down to that. You could say, last night my aunt visited me. Cool. Record it next time or something like.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I just don't buy it. And it's not, I don't want people out there. This is the one thing I wanted to make sure about this with this question. If there's somebody out there that believes 15 ghosts visited them last night and had tea with them or something, have at it. I'm not ripping on you or saying you're stupid or saying you're wrong or saying you're lying or any of that. You do you, you be you. All I can say is there's never been any evidence based proof of any of those things. And when there is, let me know. And it can't be Photoshop, and it can't be AI generated, and it can't be utter bullshit. I need real, like, real evidence, and then maybe we'll talk. And I say this knowing I have friends and family who listen to the show. I have one family member in particular who 100% believes in ghosts. Like, would sit down and give you a 400-mile page long thing about why ghosts are real and how we should all respect ghosts. And that's fine. He can have it. It's his to have.
I believe that you believe it. I'm glad you believe it. And I support your right to believe it. And I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't believe it. I'm just going to tell you that I don't believe it.
Yeah, I just don't believe it. And when people get mad that you don't believe it, then I question their belief, because if you believe it, you don't need me to verify it.
Right.
Like if you're fully 100% in on this idea that last night the ghost of Hitler came to you and said, I've repented and started the flower shop in hell or something, or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever your story is. Mm-hmm. If you tell me that with a straight face and I say, I don't believe it, that should not harm your belief.
Right.
You should still believe it if you want, but I don't. mm-hmm. I just don't. Yeah. Sorry. And it's not enough to tell me, you know?
It's going
to
take, basically, here's what I visualize that it's going to take for me to believe it. And for whatever reason, I visualize this as a totally 50s looking contraption in a scientist's lab that is this big metal box, human sized metal box with a window in the front of it, and a bunch of scientists standing around with clipboards and, you know, stroking their chins and looking at it. And inside it is like this hazy ghost with his hands on the glass, kind of like looking back out at him like, oh crap, you caught me. That's what I need. And it needs to look like the 50s.
Yeah.
And it needs to have a bunch of guys in lab coats with old aviator looking horn rim glasses.
Sure.
And clipboards. And that's it. That's what it's going to take.
You know, aviators is pretty cool, but that, I don't know. It feels like it predates that or postdates.
Well, the aviator glasses are sunglasses, aren't they? Are there seeing glasses that are called?
I don't know. I guess you could get them. You could probably get them done. But that's, there was no way they do that in the 50s. 50s didn't have prescription aviators. So Brian's right. Basically, Fallout is what you're describing.
Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm visualizing it from? Is there like a scene in Fallout that kind of looks like that?
I mean, Fallout is basically the 50s.
It's the 50s. Yeah.
It's like the 50s, as if then the bombs are all set off and everything exploded in the 50s instead of today. But then in the 50s, you had helper robots and, like, you know, it's like a super world of tomorrow today kind of life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do love that whole motif. I'm a big fan.
I do too. I wish that I know they're going to do the Fantastic Four intro in a different way, but I sure would love it if it was Johnny Quest looking 50s era science.
What do you think it would take for them to do that? Like, I don't know.
Well, we've got the multiverse, right? And
yeah.
and they were, it was a brilliant way to basically say, we can introduce any team we want and not have to explain why they weren't here for the Thanos snap and didn't help out. You know, they were in a different universe that didn't have the same problem. And now they've come over because Doctor Strange has opened everything up. So they could potentially have a 50s looking Fantastic Four movie that simultaneously takes place, you know, takes place in the same, in a different universe, but in a 60 years ago time frame or 70 years ago time frame. And so it's 1953. Reed Richards is figuring this stuff out. He latches into the multiverse. He comes over into Universe 616, and Bob's your uncle.
I'd be into it.
Yeah.
I'd be into that. I like that a lot. I like that
and
a lot.
And brings Annihilus with him, and oh, crap, problems are coming along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know. I'm just kind of not tired of, but it's just too easy to say, oh, here are these four doing their thing, and they're here too at the same time, and and now they're here. I'd rather have them cross over like that for some reason.
It's too hard to explain MCU stuff for teams that have been like, and the Eternals had this problem. They had to figure out a way to explain why the Eternals did nothing during the whole snap. Mm-hmm. You know, what did the Eternals do during that time? Well, we're not allowed to interfere with the lives of humans. Oh, unless it's these specific aliens, then we can get involved and stop them. But no. If it's a big crazy Titan, we can't do anything.
Yeah, too bad. Too bad. Titan too sad, as we always say.
That's right. Exactly.
It's a little bit like when they...
By the way, speaking of Thanos, oh my God. So, you know, I subscribe to one of my patrons that I follow, or Patreons that I follow, is a 3D artist named Wicked3D. And this guy, I have the Bruce Willis over in the other room, but he does these amazing 3D models. I'm going to try and pull up his Thanos, which is brand new.
Oh, cool.
Coming out this week. And
this isn't that weird one I saw bent over, is it?
It definitely is not.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure because I saw some Thanos stuff that I was like, oh, please tell me that's not what Brian's talking about.
I think this is it. I'm going to put it in our chat. No, it's a different one, but this is almost just as good. It's also reversed. The Infinity Gauntlet should be on his other hand, but if you take a look at the one I just put in our chat.
There it is. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Jeez.
This guy is amazing. Absolutely look at that, you guys. Amazing.
Beautiful.
We'll put a link on in the Discord so people can see.
Freaking gorgeous.
The listeners can see. So that's the movie. That's the difference, right? That's the movie Thanos. Here is the new model. This is one I'm absolutely printing. I'm putting it in our chat as well.
All right.
It's taking, say it's 6 megabytes, so it's taking
a second. Oh, look at that, dude.
How gorgeous is that? And that's comic book Thanos. And
that's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, why wouldn't you print that? Of course you're going to print that.
I'm going to print the heck out of that. I mean, it's going to go in a pile of, oh, Brad printed it. Now he needs to paint it. But but soon.
Look at that, dude. Man, that Thanos is ripped.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He's 100% ripped, not 50%, 100% ripped.
No, he is 100% ripped. Yeah. I mean, even his rip has rips.
Yeah, yeah, rippy McRip ripped.
He's lots of rips.
For aficionados of the 3D print in the audience, let's see, patreon.com/3DWicked, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 3DWicked, yeah. This guy is amazing.
His stuff's beautiful.
Wow. He's got the whole Black Order coming. Some of it's already been done, and he releases 4 to 6 models per month. And he prints out so much stuff. It's like, I want to print all this, but I just don't have the time to do it.
That's awesome. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very impressed. All right. We also got this. Scott, OMG, I'm just catching up on this season of RuPaul's Drag Race, and there's a sketch where somebody accidentally bakes ashes into brownies and feeds them to people at a funeral. You writing for RuPaul now or what? So I watched the scene.
Yeah.
My whole thing is that the people making the brownies would know they did it.
Yeah, and that's true. The people making the brownies in this case don't.
Yeah, and in the retirement community that eats them, it's not the same as a funeral, but the retirement community that eats my brownies will be the ones that are none the wiser. They're never going to know that they just ate my ashes. So it's close. It's not quite there, but it's close.
Yeah.
The ashes and brownies part, totally correct. The scenario around it, there's a lot more clandestine bullshit going on.
And right. Boy, you know, I love me some RuPaul, and I have zero problem with drag performances. I've gone to see quite a few live shows, but boy, is that comedy clip cringe.
Yeah, it's hard to watch.
It's really hard to watch.
It's really hard to watch.
But I think they're playing up the you know, the bad acting and the, you know, the 80s style 3-camera sitcom kind of thing. But boy.
I didn't know they were doing... Is that a thing on the show? They compete to make sketches or skits?
I have no idea. I watched the first season or part of the first season. And this is something new that I've never seen them do. Little skits and things like that. Usually it's... You know, music and do your best impersonation of this or this kind of person or yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was like that. Like here, I'm going to come out and sing some song from.
I Will Survive by Glory Gaynor.
Yeah. Yeah, and then here, and you get judged on your makeup and your hair and your, you know, your outfit and whatnot.
Right.
But I've never seen an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, so I don't know. That one just never came across me.
Have.
Yes. Oh, I assume so. Yeah. It's a popular show, right? That's a big one.
Very popular show. It's frequently gets the Emmy for best reality competition.
Yeah. See, that's good. Good job, that's RuPaul. Good. You did it. Now.
So bummed. I know half a season of that show and I never saw one car. How can they call it a drag race?
Yeah, it's not a drag race. What's the deal? I know what a car. Listen. I've seen cars race before. I know how that's supposed to work.
Yeah, we'll get to. You are going to have drag racing and your drag race reality competition.
If you're saying Jeff Goldblum's going to judge a season, then I'll tune in.
I'll tune in for that. Sure.
Yeah, that'd be no problem. Right. Wait, that's no, that is him.
Yeah, it's him.
I was thinking of Tom Hanks for some reason.
Oh, it's very sparkly.
Oh, I'm thinking of his the Money Pit when he's laughing. I was thinking of that.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of hard to hear now. Anyway, there you have it. That's our top of the show discussion. How about a little bit of this? Time for the news, and it's brought to you by
FTS MTG and our pal Nate. Check out his rad YouTube channel, great Magic the Gathering discussion, as well as great reviews and tips. Check it out at youtube.com/FDSMTG. Is it FTS or FDS?
FDS.
FDS. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what FDS. Why does it say FTS in the first part, though?
I don't know.
Because I actually copied his channel. Let me just
copy
sure.
and pasted it from.
Oh yeah, I just put a T where there wasn't none. It's FDS. FD.
Gotta FDS. What is FDS? I know MTG, of course, Magic the Gathering.
I don't know what that is. Let's see here if it says on his channel. It says, let's see, you're a collector of Magic Gathering and other TCG CCGs.
Feminine deodorant spray.
That's it. Oh, here it is. It literally says, what does FDS stand for? It's in a paragraph lower. It says, I hear you ask. Well, originally stood for Fat Dad Scoops. Because of an old running joke I had with my buddy. I decided to drop the self-deprecating humor and just go with FDS. So it could stand for Fun Dad Scoops or Fabulous Dad Slaps.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's really, it's just his his initialism for something for him. Like, it's not related to, it's not a an industry standard acronym for something or initialism for something.
Right. He goes on down here to say, Foreboding Doven Spies. Ooh. How about first date stacks? These are all his. He has them in this list here.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, it's a cool channel. Check it out. He's in our community. Good guy. Let's talk about NASA. They are, I always like to have at least one science story that before Bobby comes on.
That's only right.
Hopefully I didn't steal this from him. But anyway, they're monitoring an asteroid that could collide with the Earth on Valentine's Day in 2046.
Oh, no.
Woo. I'm trying to think.
23 years to prepare for this, folks.
Yep, 23 years. Get out there, get ready, because it's happening. Out of the millions of asteroids in our solar system, a very small fraction of known potentially that would impact Earth. But scientists found a new one just 2 weeks ago that so far seems to pose one of the greater risks of all of them. The asteroid known as 2023 DW was the only...
Dang, Willie.
was only discovered on February 26th, according to the European Space Agency, is now being added to the agency's risk list catalog of space objects that could potentially have some kind of impact on Earth, because of what scientists have seen so far, it's ranking on the list currently as number one.
Ooh.
But don't worry, that doesn't mean catastrophic event is imminent. Let's see. They have a Torino scale ranking of one, meaning that it's currently predicted to pose no unusual level of danger, according to the scale. Researchers believe that it is about a 50-meter in diameter rock, about the length of an Olympic-sized swimming pool. That was there to help the Americans, that last part.
Sure, yes, we love that. Yeah, because we've all seen Olympic-sized swimming pools.
Yeah. Somebody somewhere saw a headline that said, an asteroid the size of 14 alligators is heading towards something. I'm like, really? We're measuring with alligators?
With alligator, you know, the alligator scale. Sure, yeah.
So weird. Says the size is, size uncertainty could be large. I'm not sure what that means. I guess they just don't know for sure how big it is. Mm-hmm. Current calculations show the chance of collision is extremely unlikely with no cause for public attention or public concern, according to that ranking. All of the other ones have a ranking of zero, though.
I love that it's like a binary system. I mean, it's either going to hit the Earth or not, right? Zero, one, on or off.
Yeah.
Pregnant or not pregnant. There's no half measures.
Yeah, the chance of it hitting Earth, they say, is 1 in 607 is the current rate.
Ooh, that I don't like those. Never tell me the odds, Scott.
Yeah, I don't think like those aren't good odds. I mean, they're good. No. They're, how do I put this? They're fine odds if you're like, the chance and I'm going to meet a girl at this bar tonight are 1 in 607. That's fine. That's a fine odd. Have your odds.
How are my March Madness brackets going to do? Well, you've got a 1 in 607 chance of winning.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll take that.
You're like, hey, how about 1 in 607 chance the world will be annihilated by a giant space rock? That suddenly seems like not such a high number.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, I kind of want, if we find out that it's, you know, that number keeps going down, the 1 in 8 chance or 1 in 6 chance, is there a way, you know, we can't send Bruce Willis up there to blow up the asteroid, but maybe can we do something to speed up the Earth so we can control which country gets hit?
Oh, that's a great idea. Just shift it into gear right as it's about to hit. It's like, oh, we're a little off. Hit the gas. Now it's over.
Like, get some rockets that can move the, rotate the a little bit faster. Let's aim it right at blank.
Yeah, blank. Because we're not going to say, because we don't want any heat for what we say. You know, I could say right over.
Mar-a-Lago probably could use a new Olympic-sized swimming pool, couldn't they? Have a nice Olympic-sized swimming pool for Mar-a-Lago.
Can we limit the damage of the impact zone to one single piece of Trump-owned property? Would that be okay? Anyway, we'll see what happens. Look forward to Valentine's Day 2046, everybody.
Yeah. Get your Hallmark cards ready.
You know, it's weird. All I think about is you take whatever number and you add it to 2000. That's how old Nick is. So Nick is, well, he's not 2046, but he'll be 46 years old that
he'll
year.
He'll be 46 in 2046. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Just if it's a weird way of being reminded how old your son will be when things happen.
It makes things really, really easy. I envy the people who got married in 2000 because it's so easy to keep track of how long you guys been married? 23 years.
23 years.
Like, boom. Yep. Instantly know that answer.
Yeah.
You ask me, it's like 31 years.
I know. Yeah, we have to, like, dink with it so that we sound like we know what we're talking about. But what you do is you get married on January 1st, 2000. Mm-hmm. You're set for the rest of your life. You're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it. Goats. On to goats now.
Yep. Greatest of all time.
Yeah, the greatest animals of all time. They're now running loose in San Francisco, and nobody knows where they came from. Oh, boy.
Just a loose goat herd, a lonely goat herd.
Basically. Several goats. I don't know. What is it? Is it a herd? What is a group of goats? Do you want to know?
I'm going to find out. What is it called? Group of goats.
Group of goats.
Is called a...
I have no idea. It's probably a herd. Right?
I'll tell you. It is a herd. Yeah, group of goats is a herd. That's boring.
So a herd,
you can also
boring.
Say tribe, trip, or flock. I like trip. It's trip a trip of goats, man.
A trip of goats.
I'm totally having a trip of goats.
What happened in
herd
San Francisco?
Is boring.
Yeah, herd is boring. Everyone's a herd. That's lame.
Yeah.
Several goats were seen running loose in San Francisco on Wednesday. No one seems to know where they came from. From a video posted on Reddit on Wednesday afternoon, shows at least 4 goats, which is probably a herd. It's enough to be a herd. Yeah. Running through the South Beach neighborhood near Rincon Hill Dog Park, as several onlookers try, very unsuccessfully, I might add, to corral them. At the end of the video, the goats run off into the distance. They never were able to get them. Spokesman for the San Francisco Animal Care and Control told SF Gate that a call was received at 3:49 p.m. Wednesday about a gray goat running in traffic. Caller
I've
reported
seen a video of that. Oh, yeah, that's great.
It's pretty great. They're all running around like idiots. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Caller reported they didn't know where the goat went after civilians chased it away. It's a really weird one, says Genevieve Church, executive director of City Grazing, a nonprofit that rents out herds of goats to graze on properties throughout the Bay Area. Well, maybe it's one of your goats.
Could be. Yeah. Have you counted your goats?
Go count your goats. You might
fall asleep when you count goats, or is it just sheep? I don't know.
That's a good question. You would think that either one would work.
One of the goats was reported as saying,
blah, 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 blah. The ones that always go blah, blah, up in the face.
Yeah.
And the ones that faint, I love them. I love goats.
Oh, the fainting goats are the best.
And those eyes, what's with those eyes with the square pupils and the whatnot?
Yeah, that's not right. It's not right.
No, it's not right. I'll tell you what. Let's see. At this point, the only thing we know that it wasn't ours, she claims.
Yeah.
But it really is odd because there aren't that many grazing goat companies that work in San Francisco, she says. I've never heard of grazing goat companies.
Yeah, we have them in Colorado, and you hire them basically. If you've got a really big plot of land, they'll just sit. You just basically fence it off in sections, keep them in this area. They eat the grass in that area. Then you move them into another section. They eat the grass in that area. There's one right on the bike path, a quarter mile from my house.
Really? And they just
keep shifting. Yeah, they just keep moving. They have one big area, and they just keep like quixing the fence so that they keep the goats in a specific area.
Wow.
like my use of the reference to the video game Quix.
I like that. Quix. Yes. I'm trying to think of the last time I put a quarter in Quix, and it's been like 40 years. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Quix was great, dude. That was a great game.
I'm ready for a new version of Quix. And the only way you can play that thing is, I guess it was joystick. I feel like, would trackball have been good for Quix? Maybe not, because you need straight lines and stuff.
Yeah. It could be assistive, though, and like create those lines with a ball, like you could with a mouse or something. Yeah.
Keyboard and mouse would be great.
There's probably some Quix equivalent now, right?
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Somebody's got a Quix out there.
It's a mobile game. Who knows?
Oh, good point.
Anyway, good luck with your goats, San Francisco. You got enough problems in that city. Let's find some goats. How about get that fixed? And then everything else will take care of itself, I'm sure. Here's a story about a giant blob. All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now we can win Magus. Here's your supernatural event. Not really. It's not a blob you fight. A giant blob of seaweed, twice the width of the U.S. Okay. Of the entire United States continent. Plus Hawaii and Alaska, okay, is taking aim at Florida. It's a giant seaweed bloom. It's so large, you can see it from space. I know what. I got some goats that might take care of your problem, I think.
Are we sure that it's the width of the U.S. including Alaska and Hawaii? I'm guessing it's just the continental.
Oh, maybe it's just continental. It doesn't say.
I mean, that's still huge. That's huge enough. But yeah,
it's big enough, but it maybe doesn't include the islands and the whatever we call Alaska these days. Anyway, this is headed toward the Gulf Coast or the Florida Gulf Coast. The Sargassum Bloom.
Sargassum Sea, yeah.
All right, that makes sense. Around 5,000 miles wide, is twice the width of the United States, is believed to be the largest in history. Drifting between the Atlantic coast of Africa and the Gulf of Mexico, the thick mat of algae can provide a habitat for marine life and absorb carbon dioxide. Well, it seems like a good thing then. Maybe we shouldn't mess with it. The giant blue could have disastrous consequences as it gets closer to shore. Coral, for instance, can be deprived of sunlight as the seaweed decomposes and can release hydrogen sulfide, negatively impacting the air and the water, causing respiratory problems for people in the surrounding area. Well, we can't have that.
No. Feels like we shouldn't destroy it, but maybe we should figure out a way to just split it up. Just break it up into smaller little seaweed islands.
It says here,
feed it to goats.
Exactly. Brian LaPointe, a research professor in the Florida Atlantic University Harbor Branch Oceanic Institute, told NBC News the following: "What we are seeing in the satellite imagery does not bode well for a clean beach year." Mm. What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, just basically saying, you're not going to be able to hang out on our beaches because of the big seaweed island that's coming towards you. Big algae mat.
Algae mat. Sounds worse to call it that, doesn't it? An algae mat? Yeah.
Ooh, algae mat.
Ugh. Well, anyway, it sounds like things are a little bit weird. This Brian Barnes fellow from, he's an assistant research professor.
They got all the Brians involved, by the way.
So many Brians. Can you believe it? I mean, they said, look, here's a giant, it's an island of seaweed. Who do we call? All the Brians was the answer.
They reached out to me and I said no comment. I said, I'm wearing a suit.
That's you had too much going on.
Too much going on.
Yeah, I'm wearing a suit. Who made it? My tailor.
My tailor. I don't know. Oh, shout out to the tailor.
She didn't know what to do with him.
I know, so great.
She didn't know what to do. And part of me feels bad, and then part of me is like, yeah, don't. The way you people interview people on that stupid red carpet, it's a horrible. It's a horrible thing. It's awful. Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah.
And most people just comply and say, well, I'm just so happy to be here. And
Christian Dior made the suit. Oh, wow. Great suit from Christian Dior. Huh? Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Try to pretend you're not.
Are you excited to see? Oh, I'm excited to see Olivia Munn. Oh, really? Okay. Why?
Because she's got dead eyes and we like to see it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
All right. Well, anyway. They're worried about Florida, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Florida, whatever you may say about Florida and its, you know, perceived culture, they never catch a break on the natural disaster stuff. It's always a hurricane or freaking this or some kind of high tide thing or, you know, something.
Don't seem to be having problems with earthquakes, mudslides, and wildfires. But
that's true.
But hurricanes and you know, giant blobs of seaweed.
Apparently. Yeah, and I guess tornadoes. You guys get tornadoes in Florida, right? I think they do. Up
yeah,
north.
Probably. Yeah. Probably closer to the...
Near the base of the shaft.
Mm-hmm. Sinkholes, sure.
Yeah. moving on to this final story here. Tampa, Florida woman. Oh, we're in Florida. We're staying in Florida.
Oh, more Florida. Okay, cool. Yeah,
we never left. Tampa, Florida woman made $300 an hour as a topless maid. That's good money.
I'm sure she does it. I'm sure she wears the requisite maid outfit, the black and white maid outfit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just without the top.
Right, exactly.
Says here, just another example of the gig economy, which I guess, you know, Lyft and all that stuff. You should be the topless Lyft driver, Brian. You should do that.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. I already sometimes am the bottomless Lyft driver, so I'll do the topless as well.
Nice. I have a thing for you tomorrow, or sorry, Thursday, because there is no show tomorrow.
Right.
That is
no show tomorrow. Just a reminder, everybody.
Yep. I got a very specific Lyft thing for you.
Ooh, excellent.
About. Yeah. Somebody sent it. I'm keeping it a secret until we have the show. Anyway, another example of the gig economy. Rather than deliver food or drive people around, Sammy, a Tampa Bay, Florida woman, has discovered her talent. She's a topless maid. All right. That's her talent. Now, yeah, you can make an argument that I could be topless without much talent.
Sure.
I'm sure she's lovely and that this her beauty contributes to her success as a topless maid. Mm-hmm. But I don't think going topless takes that much talent.
It's a talent that if that's a talent, everybody has that at least one talent.
At least once a day you have that talent.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I took a shower this morning. I totally mm-hmm. had that talent for a hot 15
topless
minutes.
And bottomless too. So yeah, you were like doubly talented.
Yeah, very super talented. It was gross how talented I was. Yeah,
exactly.
Says now before you jump into this career path, it's always good to know what to expect. She broke it down in some video. So here's the deal. 5 houses in one day. That's how many houses she cleans per day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 300 hours plus tips. Not 300 hours. $300 per hour plus tips. It's pretty good.
It's really good.
It's like a lawyer fee. Or something.
It really is. Yes, exactly.
Says the tips. Yeah. It's the tips. I'm not sure I understand. This says this article. Some of the tips are more than an hourly rate. She must be good at cleaning houses to make sure nothing goes wrong. She employs a security guard who waits outside of her car or in her car. She breaks it all down for a daily take of about $1,430 per day.
Wow. So
clean and topless.
Yeah. It's news because it was on ESPN. Southwest Florida, ESPN Southwest Florida. Why is it sports news? I don't know.
I don't know either. Doesn't make any
sense. But wow, so she's making, so some people are tipping her more than the $300,
mm-hmm.
like giving her like a $400 tip on a $300 an hour.
Is Claire, are you new here? Why is this TMS news? Are you new to the program? We always take dumb stories like this. This is what we do.
Exactly. Come on.
This is the news. She knows. She's just trying to cause trouble.
Exactly. A little Spitfire, a little Irish Spitfire. Just because this is your week doesn't mean you get to do this sort of thing every day. All right?
No. Okay, let me ask you this.
Sure.
As someone who's augmenting his income with Lyft driving,
yes.
Would you, if there was a demand for it, would you topless clean houses for a living? Would you do that?
No. Okay. And it's less about the topless and it's more about the cleaning houses.
Kind of me too. I don't care so much about the topless.
Tina's pretty much could answer that question. Yeah, maybe you ought to start with this house, Brian.
Maybe start with your own bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to clean houses topless? How about you wear a bunch of shirts and clean this one?
Yeah. Oh, someone found her Instagram page. Hold on. Curiosity wins. Hold on. I
opposite
gotta
recline.
I won't show it to the chat because it's a little.
Oh, she's lovely.
Oh, she's fine. Yeah. I mean, look at her. She's got the money.
Oh, my gosh. Geez. Well, she's definitely going to have to clean up all that birthday cake that she apparently sat on in that photo. That's
what happened there?
That's less. I don't know. I guess that's a house that wanted to get dirtier.
Okay.
Please sit on this birthday cake.
Does she have a... let's see if her Linktree has... she has a OnlyFans.
What? No way!
Yeah, I know. I can't... Look, Brian, I don't want to freak you out, but topless maid has an OnlyFans.
Wow.
All right. This thing's loading funny. Let me get out of this. I feel like I'm on the dark
list
web.
You're on now.
Yeah. I'm on some dark web over here. Well, anyway, good luck to her and all her money-making schemes. I'm sure it's going to all work out in the end. All right, Brian, let's get out of here for a break. When we come back from this break, Bill Duran will join us. We'll talk a little bit about the world of makers and making things. Always fun to do that on a Tuesday. Bobby, after that, with some science, all that and more, but we need music to do it. What do you got?
Yeah, I love the description of this band. Nashville via Joshua Tree Trio. It's very hard to say. Nashville via Joshua Tree Trio plays classic melodic slash stoner slash desert rock with big alt rock hooks.
Wow.
Kind of accurate. This is a band called Karma Vulture from a single that they've just released. It's awesome. It's a title track from their forthcoming album. It is called Something Better. Here is Karma Vulture.
We'll be right back. following scenario is completely fictional. It is not based on any current Caldor S Protection Manager's performance.
If you are a fan, we don't have to tell you that video games are taking this country by storm.
This is The Morning Stream, a free-range solution to your morning routine.
You know, AI Fletcher's just not quite there yet. He's getting there. It's not quite there.
Was that was the Scott Fletcher AI? That sounded pretty good, but not quite.
Not quite. Like, if you're really listening.
This is The Morning Stream, a free-range solution to your morning routine.
It doesn't quite get to the higher registry stuff that he does. You know?
Yeah, because he'll do, this is The Morning Stream. Yeah, he's got a lot more range in his inflections.
Well, we'll work on it. We'll keep training that machine. Brian, tell me once again who that musician was, please.
Cheeseburger. That was the band Karma Vulture. Brand new album is coming out April 28th, 2023 via Bent Knee Records. Thanks, Bent Knee, for sending this. The album is called Something Better. That is the title track. It's track two on the album. Track one is Something Good. So track one, Something Good. Track two, Something Better.
Nice.
How about that?
Nice.
That again, Karma Vulture, if you want to check out their music.
Let me ask you this question. Did you catch up on The Last of Us last night?
I did. Watch The Last of Us.
Okay. Yes. The Last of Us, as they call it.
The Last of Us. So, the Last of The Last of Us.
So it's, you know, got all this Salt Lake City setting stuff, right?
Yeah.
And the big thing on the internet the next day was how many people were positive that the giraffe was bad CGI. And it turns out the giraffe was not CGI at all. It was an actual giraffe.
Was it really? Oh, that's awesome. I was wondering about that because don't worry, this is not spoilery. A giraffe is a giraffe, okay?
Just a giraffe, yeah. They see a giraffe, you guys, giraffe. That's it. That's really all there is. But, it, you know, the thing eats some leaves and chills out for a while. And I looked at it and thought, oh, that's a real giraffe. But I was surprised how many people thought it was fake.
It's an amazing looking CGI giraffe because I can't imagine that you can get a giraffe to eat out of your hand like that. I have before.
Sure. But, yeah. I don't know this for sure because I don't know where the filming location was, but if they filmed in SLC and they used Hogel Zoo's giraffes, those things will let you feed them. That wouldn't surprise me. I think that's why I wasn't surprised that it wasn't CG.
I mean, you can feed the giraffes in Denver at the Denver Zoo too. I have video of Tina doing it.
Yeah. So they're, you know, they're docile. They're nice.
Yeah.
Unless they're fighting each other. You ever seen that? You ever seen two fighting each other?
No, but they like hit each other's necks, right? Like they, it's like, I think I have seen video of them fighting.
It is unbelievably,
but it is
the freakiest thing to watch.
It really is. Yeah.
Giraffe fight. I'm going to find one real quick because we have a minute. Fight. Oh my gosh. If I could type giraffe, that'd be great.
Yeah. Moose 2271 says he thinks it was filmed in Calgary.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, they were really accurate as far as where they were positioned. Mm-hmm. Even the off ramp on the highway totally nailed it. Like they nailed all that stuff. Usually that, you know, in TV stuff, you're like, oh, they kind of fudge how far they are from something or that building doesn't look right or whatever. They nailed the SLC, everything. All of those buildings were right. They were in the right place. So if they didn't film there, they took some time to make sure stuff was cool. Okay, here we go. This is giraffes fighting, chat room. It is not for the, oh man, look at this. They go.
It's so weird. It's like watching hand puppets fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause honestly, but the way I guess you have to think about it is how else are they going to do it?
Sock puppets. Yeah.
Cause they got no other weapons. They got no other way to hit each other. You just gonna have to stand by each other and then just swing.
Watching those things, those inflatable things they put in front of used car dealers. Like watching those fight.
What are those called? Those have a name. Can't think of it. Anyway, giraffe fighting. Look it up, everyone at home who can't see this. Let's call Bill. All right.
Yeah.
I think it's Bill time.
It's Bill time.
Yeah. Let's get Bill in here. Let's pay our bills. Get it? Bills? Get it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like his name.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
It's Bill Duran joining us as he always does on Tuesdays. He's a master maker, makes props and all kinds of cool stuff at punishprops.com. And he joins us on Tuesdays to talk about the very same. Hello, Bill. Welcome back. Bill? Hello.
Are you
muted? He's muted. He needs to 3D print an additional microphone. Bill?
You must construct more pylons to get your microphone working.
I don't hear Bill. He is mutated.
Well, what's the answer, Rainbow Bright? How many muscles does a giraffe have in his...
Wait, she's...
Oh, really? Only 7 muscles in their necks?
Really? Wow. Like giant, yeah. Big giant slabby muscles.
Hello, hello?
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hey, we can hear you now.
I can hear you now. Hey, oh, then you cut out again. Are you there? Oh, he cut out again. Are we having internet issues? Is that what we've got today?
Perhaps.
Oh, hello. You're back. Are you back? No?
Nope.
What's going
heard
good?
For a second, heard it sounded like Skype for a second.
Yeah, it sounded like old Skype days where people would like drift off into the, ether.
We called you in Discord, but did you answer in Skype?
And then pipe it through Discord?
And pipe it through Discord.
Yeah. I think I have a... Here's some old... While we wait for Bill, here's some old Skype lag. Listen to this.
The Skype seems glitchy.
Not that. That's a line from a movie. Okay, here we go. This one. No, that's Bo's version of a kid on Skype. Let's see. Okay. Jumbled. Oh, here we go.
Reaction to rezoning at 91st Memorial tonight.
There you go. That's some good ones. Here's Wendy.
Hello?
Oh, hi.
We can hear you now.
We can hear you now. Hi, Bill.
All right. I'm not touching anything.
All right. Don't push any buttons. You're good. If you hold perfectly still. Oh,
he just oh no. He sounded great, and then he just disappeared off Discord. Oh. He said he wasn't going to change anything.
I guess if he didn't push anything. Bill. Oh, there he is. Hi, Bill.
Hey.
Hi. Everything's fine. That's really weird. Are you back?
I closed Discord.
Oh.
Immediately when you said don't touch anything, I was like, you got it.
Yep. Come on. Alt F4. Boom. Gone.
Yes, I'm not going to touch anything except the close button.
That's right. Nailed it. Well, all right. So this has been fun so far. I like this. It was a good time.
Yeah.
You heard my intro, though, right? How are you? What's going on? What are you making besides weird internet problems? What are you
Things
doing?
Things are great. We have a big project we're almost done with. We'll probably talk about that next week. Today, I want to talk about tools because I love tools.
Yeah.
Tools, sure. Who
doesn't? Not the band Tool, right? You're not doing that.
No.
All right.
Never got into them. Yeah. But power tools, hand tools, those are my jam.
Sure.
Now, when you get started on your maker journey, you probably start off with pretty general tools that kind of do everything, like a hammer or screwdrivers, maybe a saw. But as you progress down your maker journey, you start to get more specialized tools, and I think that's where things get really exciting.
And by specialized, you mean what? Like not your normal off the shelf go to Lowe's and pick it up kind of stuff?
Or? Right.
Okay.
And also though, tools that only do one very specific thing. Why are we watching the video where a guy's putting screws in an angle grinder?
I don't know.
It's
dangerous. I looked up weird tools and I got this and I thought, oh, I want to see this guy make screws.
Drill into frightening.
Yeah. It looks like he's creating a weapon, actually.
Yeah.
Just plumbing tools, for example. I had to buy one particular tool, and the only thing it does is help remove the wax deal that goes under your toilet to the... Mm-hmm. To the sewer. And it's like, great, I'll never use this thing for anything else. This is just one thing it does. But I understand that, you know, for fun stuff, for making maker projects, having those specialized tools allow you to maybe do something that you can't do otherwise.
Yeah.
And probably even makes you want to do more of the thing that you bought the tool for.
Right. Once you have the tool, you're like looking for reasons to use
exactly, it. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure.
So I've got quite the tool collection, and I've started to get tools that are more and more highly specific to do a certain thing really fast or whatever. I have a lathe which has just millions of accessories. I have a pair of pliers called engineer pliers that are used for holding screws on the very end of the plier. So the end of the plier is not flat. It is rounded to hold a screw. It's very specific.
Okay, that is very specific.
And there's something about tools like that that makes you really happy. And there's a subreddit called Specialized Tools. Here, I'll put a link in the chat for you there.
All right.
Chat.
I love this subreddit. It is the weirdest tools that do like the one weird thing to help you lose belly fat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun. There's like, for example, I knew about these. I wish I had known about these when I was a kid. There's a tool that's used to hold a full sheet of drywall on the ceiling. It's this ratcheting lift that lifts it up to the ceiling. When we were kids, we had to do drywall work. My dad just had the boys hold it on the ceiling, which is a lot of work.
Oh my God, it is, because those things are heavy and it's an uncomfortable position to be in for the length of time it takes to put in the screws on all four sides to be able to support it. Oh, I hated
that. Absolutely yeah. So that. There, so someone made a tool just to fix that problem. I love this. I just love cruising through this thing and seeing all the weird things. Here's a tool that's used to pry a door off the floor just a little bit, just to adjust the door.
Oh, you mean like on the, when you're, like when you're trying to put a door on and the hinges are, you got to kind of hold it up straight or something? I hate that.
But that's only such like a quarter inch, right?
Okay. Yeah. 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 That makes sense. You know what? I could have used that tool. Now that I think about it, I think I had an experience like that.
I had to buy a specific tool to fix a part of my 3D printer to put a, to basically, you know, those plug and socket connectors that you have on really tiny PCBs, like the, you know, they've got the white thing with the prongs and then you put the plug in into it. I had to buy this crimper that puts the metal deal on the end of the wire to put in the crimper. And it's a very unusual size. So basically I have this tool, this $30 tool, to fix a $400 3D printer that I just needed for one plug to basically be able to replace a plug that came apart.
Wow.
So it's like, I probably would have just soldered them all together. Yeah.
Sure.
Guess you're staying on there forever.
You only get one chance with that, though, is the problem. It's like, oh no, I soldered it wrong. Oh, I've got to melt it all and take it all apart. And,
yeah. Get it right the first time or you are screwed on that deal. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, there's some wild stuff in here. I can't believe I'm actually interested in this Reddit. This normally would sound really boring to me on the face of it.
This Reddit is the best stuff.
This is great.
Yeah. Wow. So I've started buying some new tools. Brittany has this old pocket watch that she rescued from her grandfather's barn. It's from the late 1800s. It's really cool. It doesn't work. Okay. So we want to get it running again. We want to try anyway and get it running again. So the world of wristwatch repair, let me tell you about the specialized tools they have.
Oh my gosh. I assume it's just really tiny screwdrivers, right?
Lots of small stuff. So that's where we started. We purchased some very small screwdrivers. The smallest flathead screwdriver I had was a 1.6 millimeter width. And the one I got is like 0.6 millimeter width. It's so teeny tiny. And then I just got a pair of tweezers that are specially designed for holding very small screws.
Wow.
It's like two little forks. They have two tined forks that sort of pinch together so it can hold the stem of the screw between it. So you hold it in place with the tweezers to get it lined up, and then you use your tiny screwdriver to drive it in.
Oh my God, that's great. Yeah, because otherwise, right, again, you start pushing down with the screwdriver, the screw tips over like it always does. And like jam the tip of the screwdriver into all the inner workings of the watch. You can't have that.
Yeah. No,
and if you cross thread one of those little screws, that's it. You can't fix it.
Oh it's God, toast. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
That's cool.
So I'm starting a wristwatch tool collection. I'm going to have to buy a little box to put them all in. Mm-hmm.
Little teeny tiny box, like a little toolbox. Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I see lots of...
I mean, you're not going to buy one. You're going to make one.
Yeah, you're going to make one. Yeah, you're going to make one. I'm looking at the... I was just looking on Amazon for, like, hey, what do they have in the way of, like, a kit for repairing watches or stuff? And they have some insane shit in here.
They like, do, yeah.
Some of these are specific to brand of watch, but most of them are kind of, you know, whatever. But these things come with so many little tools.
There are different oils you need to get, different viscosities of oils for different parts of the watch. There are tools used specifically for pressing the hands of the watch back on the watch. There are tools for cleaning your watch parts. I've been watching a lot of wrist watch revival.
Oh my gosh, dude.
So I'm getting a sort of a crash course in all these special watch tools, and they're all very cool.
Oh man, that's awesome.
That's pretty good. Punish props.
Yeah, I know you've given us a lot of videos in this segment for watch, like remaking completely an old rusted watch.
Yep.
You should do a sister channel, call it Punished Clocks. Do that.
Punished Clocks, there we go.
Yep. Nailed it.
Clocks are good too, because their parts are so much bigger than a watch. wristwatch parts are microscopic.
Yeah, and you drop.
And I don't
one,
have a microscope yet.
You drop one of those little springs or whatever. You may as well just stop looking. You know, like where you're never going to find that.
No,
cat's already got it in its fur or something. You're done. Well, that's great. I love this kind of stuff and love to hear about you getting into the tooling more and more. Tell us what bonus content you brought us today. There's always a link.
All right. So this is a video from Wristwatch Revival. He's a Marshall's a local Seattle dude who does wristwatch repair videos. And the watch that he has in this video is a pocket watch. And it is not the same watch that Brittany has, but it is incredibly similar.
Oh, look
so
at that.
We watched this video recently to get an idea of what we would be getting ourselves into. And I think it's doable. Pocket watches are significantly larger than wristwatches, and the parts are larger. It doesn't look like it when you look at them. They're all really tiny, but wristwatches apparently are a very good place to start if you want to get into this hobby, because it's not quite so difficult.
Oh my gosh, it looks so... I'd be so nervous poking around in here.
I like all of his little finger condoms.
Yeah, you gotta have the finger condoms.
Yes.
Yeah, any real... Oh yeah, why not just gloves, I guess? Is it because of your...
I don't know. He's got a couple fingers that aren't covered.
Oh,
so
okay.
So that he can probably, like... Yeah, just the first two fingers and his thumb have the little condoms on them.
Dude, they're so...
I bet if you only... Yeah, if you only have gloves like me, I bet that would work just fine.
Yeah. I'm sure, yeah. But and you could always cut the back two fingers off if you still need
that's
it.
That's what I'll do. Yeah. I'll make my own.
Yeah. That's what I do. Well, it's the reverse for art stuff, but you keep the glove, you keep the pinky and the next finger gloved, and then you cut out middle, index, and thumb so you can draw on a tablet without getting all goopy. And this is just the opposite of that. It's like, hey, what if we flipped it the other way? It looks like fun, and I don't know what it is about a pocket watch that's old. Just something about it is very alluring. It's like, man.
Yeah,
it
really is. I mean, it's just 140 years old. More than that, probably.
Especially the inside, you're looking at the gears and then the shapes that they have to cut the metal to hold those gears, these bizarre swoopy curves that are like, as they go around each spindle, it's like the same distance around it, so it's like a curve, like they've you know, designed this to the nth level with these curves in here. So cool.
Very cool.
They did it in the with a Civil War tech.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. They didn't have AutoCAD. What are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's right. They had, what are they?
PaperCAD.
PaperCAD, yeah. There you go. Well, there you have it. Go check it out. That is over at Wristwatch Revival. And I'm guessing that channel gets real cool with lots of different watch types. So
sure does.
Go check it out. And, of course, punishprops.com and the Punish Props YouTube channel. Bill Duran, have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye now.
And that link is up at quicktms.li.
Fantastic. Now, somebody has been banging at my door for the last 5 minutes, and I thought they would leave. They're still banging.
At your front door.
My
your
front,
house
door.
Front door.
And I don't have a camera. I don't have a camera thing, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause. All right. I am back, though, so let's do this. Okay. Thank you for keeping the fort down there for a moment. Where are we? What are we doing? Oh, Bill. Or Bobby is what I meant. Bobby's coming in. Yeah, that's right. Strap down, everybody. Hold on to something.
Yeah, yeah. Tuck in, everybody. It's coming.
Because Bobby's on his way, and boy.
Whether you like it or not.
How about some Skyence?
Science.
Hey, it's spelled Skyence. You know.
Skyence.
What do we know? Hey, Bobby, what are you
all
doing?
All around Skyence.
How are you? What's up with you? How are you?
I'm doing great. I actually almost didn't make it. I just sat down like a couple minutes ago.
Oh, what happened? Oh. Were you busy with...
We were just... I was just racing back from... I had my first cross-country flight today.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on a second. What does that mean? Like across the nation?
Cross-country means something very specific in aviation. It means a flight that is more than 50 nautical miles.
Oh.
Gotcha. So you didn't really like go down to Mexico or...
No, I stayed within the state, although I could have gone out of the state and made it back still. But no, I did not leave or go across the country, go to the border or anything.
I mean, I guess cross-country skiing doesn't mean you've left the country.
Right.
So that does make sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How was it, though? Did you pass with flying colors or whatever you do when you do that?
It was very difficult, and I definitely did a bunch of things wrong because it's crazy. Like, I was telling my instructor, I thought I knew how to fly, but then you add all this, like, busy work. I call it busy work, but it's very important. It's a bunch of navigation. And when you do the cross-country stuff, so when you're in the plane, there's a lot of, like, you have a lot of things in the plane that take care of, like, navigation for you.
Sure.
So, you know, you have your GPS and all that kind of stuff. But when you're doing the cross country stuff, you're supposed to plan it all by hand and do it on paper. You're manually navigating the plane visually by ahead of time, picking out like waypoints on the ground, checkpoints on, that you can identify from the air. And so you're looking for those, and it's really complicated, and you're working constantly because you hit that checkpoint and then you start a timer. Like, you have to time between your checkpoints. How long does it take you? And the reason this is important is because you need to know when you fly, a lot of times you're planning how much fuel you need to have, right? And so wind speed and changes in your predicted wind direction and everything can change how much fuel you're going to spend, that you're going to burn getting somewhere. So you have to keep track of all that, and all of that is done by, you know, you're setting a certain power setting on your engine. You're keeping track of how long it takes you to get from checkpoint to checkpoint. Also, going to the checkpoints, make sure that you know you're actually on course in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Interesting. Wow. Okay.
So it was very hard. I did the flying part well, but it's also the point in your flying when you really start practicing and learning how to talk to air traffic control.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, sure.
Yeah. I did all right at the beginning, but while I was in the air doing stuff, the air traffic control was like talking to me, and I totally missed it a couple times.
Oh no!
So do you
pull up?
At some point, is there some kind of graduation ceremony or something? Like, what is the final day?
They do have a tradition in aviation where, is it your first solo? I think it's your first solo flight. It's not when you actually get your license, but it's after your first solo flight, there's a tradition in aviation where they cut off the tail of your shirt.
Yeah.
And like write on it and stuff like that. So.
Wow. Okay.
Sort of, and like put, you know, first solo and the date and where you, the airport where you did it and stuff like that.
Really? That's the thing.
So wear a shirt that you're okay with having ripped off.
My instructor hasn't told me that you do that, but that they do that. So
good,
I don't know if.
Good thing you know.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't know when you're going to solo. So I guess I just need to be wearing old nasty t-shirts from here on out.
I feel like I'm learning all kinds of things today. This is fantastic.
Hazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was 14, I worked in an Italian restaurant and they served pizza. My first day there, they're like, oh, Brian, you know, for your dinner break, you should try. I was like washing dishes or something. Brian, you should try the pizza. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. I will. Like, yeah, I'm taking my break in half an hour. I'll do the pizza. So I sit down. They said, oh, we'll bring it to you. I sit down. They bring me a pizza. And what they've done is they've taken a little personal size pizza and they've like chopped, instead of chopping it into slices or even squares, it's like they almost mashed it with a pizza cutter. So it was like little tiny pieces that I guess I had to eat with a fork or something. And that was their hazing ritual.
Wow.
But, you know, they could have cut off my shirt. It would have been fine.
Yeah, it would have been okay, right?
Yeah,
I just don't want to eat. Yeah, I don't want to swallow goldfish or any of that bull crap they make you do.
Oh God, no, yeah, no. This ain't, you're not pledging for a fraternity.
That's true. If I think of hazing, I think of either packing tape on your junk or swallowing goldfish. God. Those are the two things. I know.
Is this today's selfie
before,
you sent us?
Yeah, I took a selfie before I started today. That's the inside of the plane that I fly.
Oh, look at this, you guys. Here,
that's cool.
This up here on the
wow.
For everyone to see. Look at that. Look at Bobby in his plane.
No kidding. Is that an iPad and an iPad pencil or an Apple pencil?
Yeah. here's real quick and then we can get to the science.
Sure.
But this is the plane that I fly, me standing in front of the plane that I fly.
Oh, let's see. Oh, look at that. What is that plane? Cool. What do we call this plane?
This is a Cessna 172S.
Nice. And this is you know, made in the last century. It's a good plane.
I think it's like 2000. It's definitely after 2000. I think it was like 2007 maybe, which is pretty new for a plane, honestly.
Oh, look at that
thing. It's a nice plane.
Yeah. Two things. You should use that photo for your podcast album art, which I think you do.
Yeah, I do. So, well, I do. Yeah.
And number two, you really must really like that shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I do. You know, do you have this experience where you, because I took that picture a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm just on a rhythm where, like, the same day of the week, I end up wearing the same stuff.
I totally do.
Yeah. Right. That happens to me all the time. Yeah. I would not feel bad. For some reason, my things got real choppy there, and I don't know why. Hold on a second. I don't think it's not you guys. It's something else here, and I'm going to hit stop on this thing. Okay.
Yeah, the stream kind of went wonky.
You did restart the stream after you went and checked out your package, right?
Yeah, whenever I look at my package, I check the stream. Okay, it's still going.
All right, good.
I don't know what that was. We seem to be smooth now. That was weird. It's kind of a moment of clarity. Anyway, well, Bobby, let's do get to the science of the day.
Yeah, speaking of packages... Yeah. and that kind of package, there was reported last night month. Did you recently hear about the wooden, pleasure instrument that they found from ancient Rome?
No,
well, it's a dildo. Can we say that on the show?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Why not? This was a thing. They found an ancient,
a wooden dildo. Ah,
it looks like it was made out of wood.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What else would they make it out of? I guess they could make it out of, like, if it's ancient Rome, they could have made it out of marble, right?
That's true.
So, they found one. It was a little while ago, and so it's I know you want to see a picture of it. It's not obscene, yes. I promise. But here, I'll put a link to the article there, and right there. Jeez.
Oh, are we sure that's not just a bat reversed or something?
Louisville Slugger, I think.
It's about 16 centimeters long, and for anybody, I'll save you the shame. That's about average. So it was 16 centimeters long and it was pretty well preserved. It was found in Vindolanda in the UK, which is, that's what the site was called back in the day. It's south of Hadrian's Wall. And it's 2000 years old. There's lots of cool things that have been found there. It's a really interesting site for ancient Roman stuff because it's like got oxygen deprived conditions there, and so it preserves things really well.
Yeah.
So, like, it's made out of wood, right? You might have thought that would decay, but it was preserved really well. And they're not, so they think it might be, the reason it's in the news is because it was believed that it was a phallus that was used for personal use, but there are a lot of people who think that it might have been many other things, and there's a new someone weighing in now thinking that it might have been what's called a drop spindle.
Yeah, what is a drop spindle? I don't know what that is. That's so a
drop
weird...
spindle is, I don't know why it's named what it is, but I know it's a spindle that's used for yarn making.
Okay.
Like when you're like spinning yarn or any kind of thread, you want to have it wrap around a spindle as it's coming off of the wheel or whatever you're spinning it from, right?
Sure.
And that's what a drop spindle is it does that. And so a drop spindle does have a large end on one end so that it doesn't slide off the end. And then it has a little knob at the top. You can buy these nowadays. People spin fabric all the time or thread all the time. So they think that might be the shape. Now, you might be wondering, really? Do you think that might be what it is? Because it definitely looks conspicuous on that knobby end.
Yeah, the picture. The one end there looks a little like, Jimmy's first time is what that looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Right. But they do think it's possible because the Romans did all kinds of... So ancient Romans loved phalluses, right?
They're into them, Yeah,
they were way into it. And I actually was reading about this in preparation for this because I always thought like they were just cheeky people. Like they just really were just they just thought it was great and they were just into it. But it was actually first of all, they believed that phallic symbols warded off evil. It warded evil. It protected you from evil and evil spirits. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah,
I know that today people act like it exposes us to evil spirits, but back then they thought it did the opposite.
Total 180, which is a whole nother conversation. There's a many scholars believe that there's so many values that ancient Romans had that Christians just did a 180 on, and they think that is just a direct response to, because if you know your religious history, Christians in Rome, they didn't get along too well.
No. In fact, they're maybe the ultimate example of we didn't get along too well.
Right. Turns out that the Romans might have not been too nice to a very prominent Jewish person who's important to Christians.
The one all of it got named after. They didn't like him at all.
So anyway, that's a whole nother thing, though. But they believed that phalluses warded off evil, and I guess it's probably because they associated phallic symbols with like power and fertility, and they didn't have this hang up. The point is, they didn't have this hang up that we have about penises.
Right.
They were much more common. They actually made wind. There've been wind chimes that have been found that were made out of bronze penises hanging.
Oh, really?
That would.
So do they go dong dong dong?
Why didn't I think of that? Oh, that's great.
Oh, boy.
No, there's one that they found that was it was a depiction of Hermes, the god Hermes, with a giant phallus and many other ones sticking out all over him, and then there were loops at the end of them where chimes would hang, and because wind chimes, the sound of wind chimes were also believed to ward off evil spirits. So I guess they were thinking like, well, let's just combine these two ideas to make the ultimate evil spirit.
Why not?
You know what I like? I always like when they'll find some ancient architecture, some like old French, you know, cathedral, and all around it are these beautiful ornate religious symbols, and it's like, wow, there's Saint whoever doing whatever he did, and then all the way around, and then eventually you get around far enough and you'll find a guy putting a stick up his butt or something.
Right.
What was the deal with that?
Why is that C-3PO right there? What's
going on? It was so weird. Like in Spain, I'll never forget this. In Spain, for the nativity, when they create a nativity scene for Christmas, they have what's called, I don't know the Spanish word for it, but it's called, they call it the pooping man. And it's basically just this little dude somewhere, and the fun of it is for little kids, you're supposed to find where he is in the nativity scene. So somewhere nestled between, you know, shepherds and wise men and the little baby Jesus and all this is some guy taking a little dump. And this is a real thing. It's a real thing.
Somebody's uncle came up with this game.
It's apparently totally, huge down there. They love it down there. And I don't know if maybe when I say down there, I mean Spain, but maybe some stuff in parts of South America, I don't know, carried over there. But it's got a name and it's a real thing. And even in the big ones where you put it out on a yard, like a yard size nativity, you got a kid sized pooping man somewhere.
the immaculate excretion.
Yeah. I thought that was great.
Evacuation.
We don't have anything cool in our nativity scenes.
I'm going to sneak one of those into my in-laws' nativity scene, and I'm going to claim that it's a tradition in Spain.
Yeah, it's traditional Spanish. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How long it takes somebody to notice it.
I'm gonna find it so that you can give her you can have some backup when you need it. All right.
DJ Stengel put a photo.
oh, did he put?
There
one
he
in?
Is, right there. Look at that.
Yep, this is real. There it is. Yeah, that's the guy. He looks just like this in all the ones I saw. And they had, I was at some kind of fair and it was like Spanish something. I don't remember what the deal was. They were celebrating Spain it was around Christmas time. So they had a bunch of nativities and they all had this little pooping guy in it.
That's Waldo's black sheep brother.
Kind of, yeah. It is. Where's
they
Waldo?
They make a Boris Johnson one too. Oh, and there's like a little poop down there.
Yeah,
oh,
there's a poop on the ground. You got to have that. Yeah, oh my gosh. Really, why is there a Boris Johnson one? Jeez Louises, that's terrible.
It is.
So they think that it was a drop spindle because it was found amongst a bunch of other craftsman tools. So it would make sense that it was some sort of a craftsman tool, right? And so the reason I brought up how much Romans liked penises is because it's entirely possible. Like the person who thinks that it was a drop spindle, other people are like, "There's no way. It looks just like, you know, a phallus." Mm-hmm. But the person who thinks it was a drop spindle says, "Look, it's entirely possible." Like we often don't appreciate how much, just because they lived 2000 years ago, how much they still could be like us. Mm-hmm. So she was claiming like, it's entirely possible that it was just a funny joke. It's a drop spindle that looked, that was meant to be shaped like a penis. Like, that's not outside of the realm of possibilities, right?
Yeah, no, you could have made the claim. I am a Roman soldier, and my wife is a wonderful woman who takes care of everything while I'm off to war, fighting the whoever we fought, you know? Yeah. So when I come back home, boy, it's good to see her using that really powerful drop spindle I bought her. That actually is shaped like a penis to represent how powerful the drop spindle is.
Right.
Totally possible. Totally possible.
Yeah.
You know what? That's where my money is. I think that's what happened.
Some people think it might have been this is maybe a little obscene, but thinking it was an object, because Romans used to have objects that they would insert into statues and then rub it for good luck.
Oh, my Lord. Really?
That's an actual proposed what they think this could have been.
Okay. Well, my money's on that. I like that.
Sure.
Well, excellent. I'm glad you brought this really hard-hitting, important science to us today. And it's more historical, what's the word, anthropology kind of moment here on the show.
It is. That's science for sure.
Which I love that stuff. I'm a big fan.
We don't talk enough about it on our podcast, so...
Sure.
I try to.
It just seems to fit here, doesn't it? It just feels like this is an appropriate place for that sort of thing.
It does. Dreadnecks, who listens to TMS, his daughter, a 7-year-old, I think maybe 8 now, listens to our show every week, and so I would feel too bad putting this one on there.
Oh yeah, you gotta let out your garbage when you're on TMS. I get it.
So, TMS is my is the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
It's where you test your material. You don't take it to catch a falling star. You take it to Harry's Ha-Ha Hut.
Yeah, or something. Harry's Ha-Ha Hut is right. Well, I'm glad you do it. Bobby, you're speaking of your show. Tell people what you guys talked about this week and where it is. So people
can my show, my science podcast that I do weekly is called, not The Morning Stream. I'm sorry. This is my show now.
Ah, dang it. Taking it
this
over.
Is the hostile takeover we were worried about, Scott.
Yep,
it's happening. It's called... All Around Science is the actual name of my science podcast. So if you want to check it out, every week we talk about science news and just interesting things we find interesting in science. This past week, the episode that came out yesterday was a part of an episode that part of the episode, a part that got cut out from our Valentine's episode when we had my wife Stephanie on and Maura's husband Scott, who to talk about heart issues like cardiology and heart disease and stuff like that. But there was a whole section on there about women and heart disease because heart disease can present very differently in women, especially heart attacks can look very different in women. And so we did a whole little segment on that. Didn't quite fit in the first go around, so we put it in this week.
Nice.
And you should listen to that. It's really, really great.
Very nice. I saw a post on Twitter about it and I was very curious. I'm glad to hear that you guys covered that. Seems like a thing that you don't hear about that much, you know?
No. It's the American Heart Association is trying to raise awareness for it, and so we're doing our part.
Nice. Go get that show wherever you get your podcasts. Bobby, have a fantastic week, and may all your drop spindles be powerful and penis-like by now. All right. Let's see if this hangs up on us, Brian. I'm going to try it.
All right. Okay.
So far, so good. I think maybe they fixed it, whatever it was.
Because we had it with Tom last week, too, didn't we?
Like no, right after it worked last week with him, the week before that, both these guys crashed. And so I think whatever it was, maybe they updated it. I don't know. I do know this.
Yeah.
We're about done here. I do want to play a call that we got. All right.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm in. I'm ready.
It's a good one. This is about... who would fight Salad Man? Because you did that thing
from the feud last week.
Yeah, I'm talking about different heroes and stuff, and he takes issue with why we didn't come up with a certain name. So here it is.
Hey, Scott and Brian, it's Ian with the thermos tattoo. I can't believe that we have so many awesome nerds that listen to this show, and nobody said Aquaman for who would fight the Salad Monster. The guy has a giant fork. He swims around with a giant golden fork. Seems like he was kind of tailor-built for that particular task. Anyway, love the show, though.
I love the idea. That's a really good point. It's the fork that would be...
It's a fork. Yeah. He's just, you know what? People did actually say Aquaman. Not enough to make the top 10, but Aquaman didn't make it in the list. But I kind of am surprised that nobody... None of you guys actually came up with that.
You know what? I know why. It's because when I think of Aquaman, I think of I think of Super Friends Aquaman. He never had a fork.
Yeah, and didn't have the fork.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, the new modern Aquaman with the whole, like, I've got a fork for a hand. I guess it's more of like a, you know, like a two-pronged, like, hook kind of thing. Yeah, but he can still pick up
it's a weapon, right?
That.
It's like a harpoon or whatever it is. Does it fly out, though? Like action?
I don't know.
Like action toy where you flick the switch and shoots out of him.
That I don't know. I haven't read an issue, but I've seen the way he looks with his little two-pronged fork hand.
Yeah,
hook fork hand.
He was. Yeah. That's when they made him all grungy and dark. And
Do you think like in fights, you know, he can like do the spin around? What's the spin around technique with a fight where you you knock somebody off their feet?
Roundhouse. Roundhouse.
Yeah, does he do a roundhouse with that thing and just kind of like cut him off at the feet?
Oh, I love it. That's a great way to sweep the leg, I say.
For sure, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Keep the leg, Johnny!
We love your calls. Please keep them coming. We have one queued up for tomorrow from Gary from Lantronics, from Disneyland, from Senior Geekland, who wants to clear some stuff up on Pink Floyd in our conversation there. So look forward to that tomorrow on the show. It's going to do it for today, though. I want to thank all of our patrons for helping us make this show possible. If you would like to be one of them, go simply read about what's available to you at patreon.com/TMS because you want no commercials. Good deal. Got you covered there. How about pre-show content every day? Got that as well. How about art in the mail? How about couch parties on the weekend? How about monthly play dates? How about many other great monthly benefits that you can have for as little as $1 a month? Yes,
what?
That's right. I know. It's insanity what
I just said.
That's
so cheap. No way. We can't give them all that content for just $1 a month.
No.
What?
What kind of ancient ass freaking business model did we sign that's up right. for? Well, that's go right. take advantage of us today at patreon.com/TMS. And huge thanks to everyone who already does. Brian, that's it for us. Let's get out of here. Do you have a song we can play?
I do. By the way, no show tomorrow, so Gary's thing will be Thursday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
A little clear up. That's
Thursday.
All right.
Gosh dang it.
The next episode. And getting you to say the word roundhouse was something the tadpole asked me to do while you were upstairs checking your package.
Oh, so really? They were just waiting for that? What was?
Yeah. I had to get you to say squirrel, roundhouse, or shenanigans.
Yeah,
you to say roundhouse.
In any of the three and you win? Is that how it works?
Well, I was going to try and get you to say all three. I tried when you came back from getting your package. I asked you if there was a little rodent with a fluffy tail looking for his nuts.
Oh,
and
shit. I didn't say squirrel.
Yeah, you said you'd invite him in, but you didn't say what kind of rodent.
I didn't take the bait. All right. Well, at least you got one out of me. Dude, one out of three.
I'll
yeah, one out of three is pretty strong. I wouldn't feel bad about that.
And then that way also the listeners get in on the fun because they're like, why the heck is Brian talking about Aquaman doing a roundhouse? Anyway, Tom. Cross-eyed in the chat when he's able to be here said hello Scully and Bones. The 14th is Pi Day and also commemorates the 8th anniversary of marrying my wonderful wife Malia. It's been a wild ride of self-discovery as we've both found new ways to be ourselves and not who we feel we have to be around other people. That's number one best thing.
I love that
best thing you've discovered. She can definitely see why I like it. Can I get 3 random Dunaway clips?
Yes, you can. And I'm clearly in a position to pull those up real quick here.
Sure. There's no, it was instantaneous because you were ready for me to ask that.
All right, here you go. Here's one.
My balls are getting kind of squishy.
All right, that's random. here he is doing.
Go hide. This is Brian. Something obviously is going weird.
Yeah, that didn't go well, I think. And then third, we'll do this one. All right, there you go.
Perfect. Well done.
Yeah.
Nicely played. He says, last year I requested Dusty Cartridges and Long Boxes by Kirby Crackle, but since it's Pi Day, how about a cover of a classic rock Pi song? Now, how many, when I say rock and roll pie songs, Scott, what do you think of? Like what
who's pie songs? Who's my cherry pie? Something.
First one, gonna... absolutely. Warren's cherry pie.
Uh-huh. What else? Pie. There's he's the pie man. I don't know. I made that up.
Yeah, I was because I was in the same boat. I'm like, oh yeah, cherry pie. What else is there? And then I'm like, then I did a search in my library. And of course, how could I forget American Pie by Don McLean?
Oh.
How could I forget Custard Pie by Led Zeppelin, Honey Pie, and Wild Honey Pie by the Beatles? Two separate pie songs by the Beatles. But let's go to Custard Pie by Led Zeppelin, especially a cover of it from the questionably named album A Pleasing Pounding from 2007. Here is the all-female Led Zeppelin cover band, Zepparella, and their cover of Custard Pie.
See you guys on Thursday! Okay?
Thursday.
Not Wednesday. Thursday. We'll see you then.
Drop down, baby, let your daddy see. Drop down, mama, dream of me, yeah. Mama, allow me. Well, I fool around all night long. Well, I may be crazy, baby, but I sure know right from wrong. Yeah, I sure know right from wrong. Drop down, baby, let your daddy see. Drop down, mama, dream of me. Oh,
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.